From NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. I'm Felix Contreras.
And I'm Jasmine Garst. We're listening to Vals LSD, one of the new songs off of the new album by Os Mutantes. The album is called Full Metal Jack.
Standless trees, standless doors, standless seeds, the fire floods. Remember me, I was right there inside your mind. In this room, the time is gone, the dream begun. We're fading out, this timber is mine. I wonder if you will remember what we see, eternity.
Os Mutantes is one of the most important bands in Latin America. They're really pioneers of Latin rock.
And today we are fortunate to have with us from the studios of WBGO in Newark, New Jersey, one of the founders of Os Mutantes, guitarist Sergio Diaz. Sergio, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Felix and Jasmine. It's such a pleasure to be here.
So in order to understand the importance of Os Mutantes, I think we have to go back to Brazil in the late 1960s. This was a very tumultuous time. It was a time of dictatorship. There was a lot of repression, a great deal of cultural censorship, and people were literally losing their lives because of their ideas.
Sergio, give us a snapshot of what a day in Brazil was like in 1967.
It's funny that you said, I mean, the way that you put it with your words, I mean, it sounds a lot like 1963 here with Kennedy. You know, people were dying and there was a lot of repression and there was all of this. You guys had your coup d'etat in 63. We have ours on 64. And so the rest of the Latin America. And it was like absurd, you know, was like living in absurd. It is, I think, the closest thing that you can relate to. I mean, in terms of having tanks on the streets and suddenly like your dad is arrested or people disappearing. I mean, 9/11 would be like kind of the closest thing that would be like in terms of unsafety or feeling unsafe.
Was Brazil in 1967 comfortable with its own people?
Not at all. I mean, it was awful. For you to have an idea, now we're having those manifestations now, you know, how long that it took is like from 64 until now, finally the people is getting out on the streets and moving, you know, and making the movement and talking about, you know, all the corruption that exists there. That was the worst legacy of the military government, was the corruption. And I think this is a beautiful thing to watch. I'm just get afraid that this not doesn't get like out of hand and we end up in another military coup or anything like that.
And I'm going to take you back to the protests. We're going to go back to what's happening now. But I want to ask you, what music was playing in 1967? And was there a difference between what the government wanted you to hear and what people were actually listening to?
Well, it was censorship all over the place, you know. Before 64, Brazil was a kind of paradise for arts also, you know, and no wonder, you know, we had so many powerful music and arts all over the place. And I believe that the songs that were going out, you know, we were playing like with Gilberto Gil, Domingo no Parque, and all the stuff. And of course, the government didn't want this. Of course, Gil and Caetano ended up exiled from Brazil. And that was basically the things was basically a kind of tour de force. And was like Chico Buarque would do, like, to see the Pra Ver a Banda Passar, which was like the silliest song that you can do, but that's basically was the irony of it, you know. So in the festival, he was and that won the festival, which was fantastic, you know. So it was not a quote political song, but it was so political for being so silly, you know.
Right, right.
That was like a slap on their face.
Let's listen to that silly but very political song.
It's called Pra Ver a Banda Passar,
which means to see
see the band go by.
Estava à toa na vida, o meu amor me chamou pra ver a banda passar cantando coisas de amor. A minha gente sofrida despediu-se da dor pra ver a banda passar cantando coisas de amor. O homem sério que contava dinheiro parou, o faroleiro que contava vantagem parou, a namorada que contava as estrelas parou para ver o vida passagem. A moça triste que vivia calada sorriu, a rosa triste que vivia fechada se abriu, e a meninada toda se assanhou pra ver a banda passar cantando coisas de amor.
Estava à toa na vida, meu amor me chamou.
Se esqueceu do cansaço e pensou, quem dera moço pra sair no terraço e dançou. A moça feia debruçou na janela, pensando que a banda tocava pra ela. A marcha alegre se espalhou na avenida, insistiu. A lua cheia que vivia escondida surgiu. Minha cidade toda se enfeitou pra ver a banda passar cantando coisas de amor. Mas para meu desencanto, o que era doce acabou, tudo tomou seu lugar depois que a banda passou. E cada qual no seu canto, em cada canto uma dor, depois da banda passar cantando coisas de amor. Depois da banda passar cantando coisas de amor. Depois da banda passar cantando coisas de amor. Depois da banda passar.
That was Pra Ver a Banda Pasar by Chico Buarque. And I want to ask you, in this environment, were you afraid to start a rock and roll band?
Not at all. You know, I was 13 when I left school, and I decided that I was going to be like a guitar player, that I was going to be like a professional. And my mother told me, okay, you can leave the school, but you're going to have to earn your own money. So I started to give in class, and I was making money, so she bought my first electric. So when you're a kid, you don't have fear of anything. You know, it's very hard for a kid to feel fear. You have all that feeling of indestructibility and that you're like immortal and all this, which I still have somehow. But it is something that don't let you even think about the possibilities of the devastation that could be. You know, that, for example, that's why the Full Metal Jack, this, and especially this song, you know, because it was, I wrote it for the kids that were like, you know, boarding the plane, you know, dressing full gear, going to Afghanistan or whatever, just not knowing exactly what would be waiting for them there. No, they're just kids. And to die there is a whole different story. We didn't have that feeling. We couldn't fathom the... or understand it.
Even in a dictatorship where people were dying and disappearing?
Well, what we would do is basically as every kid does, you know, is if you tell him, okay, you don't eat, please eat the salad. And the kid won't eat the salad, you know.
Right.
Of course, if you say, don't eat the salad, the kid will eat the salad. And that's basically what we did, you know. If you say no, we'll say it's forbidden to forbid. You know, there was a lot of movement in the world, you know, that was going on about that. You guys with Vietnam. So there was a huge vortex of energy all over the world. And I think that was also our share, which it was a small one, but it was very intense.
I think we need to listen to the song. It's Forbidden to Forbid. É proibido proibir.
Yeah.
A mãe da Virgem diz que não, e o anúncio da televisão, e estava escrito no portão, e o maestro ergueu o dedo, e além da porta, ao porteiro sim, e eu digo não, e eu digo não ao não, e eu digo é proibido, proibido, é proibido, proibido, é proibido, proibido, é proibido, proibido. Me dê um beijo, meu amor, eles estão nos esperando. Os automóveis ardem em chamas, derrubar as prateleiras, as estantes, as estátuas, as vidraças, louças, livros, sim. E eu digo sim, e eu digo não ao não, e eu digo é proibido, proibido, é proibido, proibido. É proibido, proibido, é proibido, proibido, é proibido, proibido.
Caí no areal e na hora adversa que Deus concede aos seus, para o intervalo em que esteja a alma imersa em sonhos que são Deus. Que importa o areal, a morte e a desventura, se com Deus me guardei, é o que me sonhei que eterno dura, é esse que regressarei.
Me dê um beijo, meu amor, eles estão nos esperando. Os automóveis ardem em chamas, derrubar as prateleiras, as estátuas, as estantes, as vidraças, louças, livros, sim. E eu digo sim, e eu digo não ao não, e eu digo é proibido, proibido, é proibido, proibido, é proibido, proibido, é proibido, proibido, é
Sergio, so much was happening in that era. There was a lot of political music. There was a lot of things going on. Where did Os Mutantes fit in that scene?
We were a flag of freedom, you know, in every aspect. We were young and restless. I believe that this importance was the most tangible thing, you know, the freedom to do whatever we wanted. And that was something that was very healthy for us because they couldn't really place a label on us. They would say, oh, they're leftist, you know, because they're playing with Caetano and Gil. Or they would say, well, but later they're playing with guitar, so they're right wings because they're Americanized. You know, my Juni Boogie, I painted like the Easy Rider you know, with the American flag. So they couldn't understand us. They couldn't really pinpoint anything. So they were trying to find something, but they didn't understand the freedom that we had inside. And that was basically the main thing, I think, that Mutantes always brought in terms of music and lyrics and behavior.
And definitely, you know, Caetano and Chico, they were always doing songs that were so overtly political. I mean, very beautiful, a lot of subtlety, but they were overtly political. And they, you know, a lot of musicians paid a price for that. They had to leave or worse. Would you say Os Mutantes was a political band?
Oh, definitely. Just the fact that we existed was political. We were so many times, you know, advised not to leave the hotel because we were going to be caught by the whatever was the CIA there, you know, or the SNE. And so many times we were on stage and they would say, okay, leave because there's going to be a raid. And there was basically, that was like day-to-day thing, you know. I remember when they kidnapped the ambassador of Germany, you know, to trade for political prisoners. You know, that was it was like every day something new happening, you know, and was like huge, like a very strong stew, if you know what I mean, you know, very, very spicy, you know.
What song do you want to hear now? What song should we play from that era that reflects that whole environment?
There's so many songs.
Was there one song that Os Mutantes was playing when you were told, hey, there's going to be a raid?
Well, for example, one thing that we did, and you can play, which one is called Cabeludo Patriota, or A Hora e a Vez do Cabelo Nascer. Which the name was supposed to be Cabeludo Patriota, and that was censored. So they started to censor our lyrics. So instead of censoring or changing it, we put a noise on top of it. They didn't want us to say yellow and green because it was the color of our flag. That how they were crazy, you know.
And Cabeludo Patriota, that means...
The patriot, a hairy guy who is patriot, you know? And so long hair guy.
Right.
So if you listen to the song, you know, in the bridge, it goes like, "O meu cabelo é verde amarelo." On top of this verde amarelo, there's a sound, which we did with our voice. So people would know that we were censored and we didn't abide to it. So, and we would play on stage with the correct lyrics.
Let's hear that song.
No, I think it is, the name is A Hora e a Vez do Cabelo Nascer.
Okay, you're going to have to introduce that because I'm not going to say that.
Okay, so, ladies and gentlemen, get ready for A Hora e a Vez do Cabelo Nascer, Os Mutantes. We'll be right back. That was A Hora e a Vez do Cabelo Nascer, Os Mutantes.
What year did you record that? Do you remember?
No. Okay. I bought a watch, I think, in 1982.
Okay. Let's transition a little bit from politics to music, because I'm very interested to know what were some of the influences of the band when you guys started, and if whether or not things that were happening in London, in the United States, if that was coming in.
I think it was much earlier than that. My mother was a classical pianist and great composer. So we were all the time exposed to operas and classical music, and my father was a tenor and a great opera singer.
And makes sense, because there's so much opera
in
Os Mutantes.
There's a lot of classical and all of this. And so that was the beginning of everything, you know. And then we started listening to all that we could put our hands on. I mean, Brazil was like a kaleidoscope of information. We would like go on the short waves and look for the music, you know, all over the on the other countries. That was our internet, you know. So before even the Ventures, you know, I was listening to Nat King Cole. I was listening to Nino Tempo, April Stevens. I was listening to the sambas, to the bossa novas, to every little thing, like to Sarita Montiel from the tango singer in Argentina. I was listening to the mariachis. You know, that's why I probably came like El Justiciero and all those songs, you know, all this. It was a lot of influences from all over the place. And then I remember my first record the first 45 that I bought was like Mamas and Papas, was the California Dreaming. Oh. And then when I bought my pickup, I remember I bought The Who. And, you know, and we were always trying to get all the information that we could get, you know. And I remember listening to Les Paul and Mary Ford, Wes Montgomery, Jimmy Smith. You know, it was a huge, broad. That's besides, you know, Beatles and all the English influence and the music from Jefferson Starship or Airplane, or even the you know, in 70-something, I met with Ravi Shankar, which was my master, my teacher.
That's an eclectic mix of music.
Yeah.
It's just...
Yes, it is huge. It was... we embraced, like, the world, really. It was like... There was a record that was very influential on us, which is called Fantastica, by Russell Garcia. That guy was the beginner of the electronic music, and it's marvelous arrangements and marvelous ways of using like electronic pieces, because they didn't have synthesizers then, and so he was using like just like wave generators or anything like that.
We have the track Lost Souls of Saturn from
Russell
Garcia.
This is fantastic. Yeah. Thank you.
I'm really interested by, as you mentioned, when in that era, in the late 60s and the 70s, the whole world was just exploring and exploding with creativity. And I wonder, when you see that kind of freedom and that wild behavior, and you're living in a very repressive situation, what does that feel like when you see people California dreaming and you're living in kind of a nightmare situation?
We didn't understand the lyrics. We didn't speak English. Huh. You know, so we basically were listening to the songs, to the music.
To the melodies.
To the melodies.
The chords.
And we could get a little bit, I at least could get a little bit here and there, you know, but I didn't really know the meaning of what was going on. I was just like saying what I heard, like "She Loves You." I didn't know, as I knew what was "She Loves You," but I didn't know really. Or "Yesterday" was kind of hard to understand, like all the poetry, or you know, "Julia" or "A Day in the Life" or "Helter Skelter." You know, all of this is like was too much of a deeper level of English. And so the greatest thing was to be able to live the daily change that happened in that era. I mean, just to be able to have heard the first Beatles song and then the next album, then the next album, and then will come like Revolver, then Rubber Soul, then Sgt. Pepper, and that will... Each album would totally blow your mind musically, psychologically, I mean, in every aspect of a human being. And this is something that I miss, you know, today, because it's very hard to find somebody that is like very, how can I say, groundbreaking, sure. Especially now with all those plugins and all those computer facilities that everything sounds the same. I mean, to have really that... huge leaps from each song to each album to other, that will be it was like it is impossible to describe, you know.
Right.
So many artists, non-Brazilian artists, have been obsessed with Os Mutantes. Beck, David Byrne, Kurt Cobain famously asked the band to reunite. Why do you think so many artists are just so obsessed with the band?
I think basically the most important thing of our music is freedom and honesty of what we believe it is. We never direct any kind of song by any idea or preconceived formula. We always did our music because it was our life.
Sergio, you're the only original member of the band in the current form of the band, the only one left over from the 1960s and the 70s era. But I've read something you said in interviews, that the band is more than its members. It's like a continuation
yes.
of ideas. Can you explain that?
Yeah. How can I say that? There are things that are meant to be, you know, like the Beatles were meant to be. I think what happens to Mutantes, it is... It proved itself, you know. I mean, everybody, especially in Brazil, you know, they were so tied up with the image, you know, of Rita and Arnaldo and myself. When I felt that the people that were in the band weren't really feeling what was what was all about, then I stopped. And I came to U.S. and I, you know, worked with a bunch of people, which was a fantastic experience. But now, especially now, I'm 62 now, it's so easy now to recognize this umbrella of this entity called Mutantes, you know, because for example, when we did the return with Arnaldo and Zélia Duncan, for example, Zélia Duncan was the least person that you would expect to go enter like Rita Lee's shoes, you know, and she did a wonderful job. And it's been like this since then, you know, Zélia left, Arnaldo left, and, you know, the band kept on, and we're just basically growing and growing and growing, and especially in terms of writing. For example, when I'm writing a song, and it's like just a Sergio Diaz song, it is totally different, and it's nothing that I plan for it, you know. But when I'm writing for Mutantes, it is it is a different vibe. It's a different energy. I cannot really put my finger on, but I noted that, for example, if you think about the band was gone, was finished in whatever, 70, whatever, and our songs survive ourselves. Our songs just came alive by themselves and touched so many people's hearts. So when we play like the Barbican, and then without even playing one note, after like 2 months of rehearsal, we had our first tour in the USA booked. We had never played the USA, nor London. The only place we had ever played beside Brazil was Portugal and France. And that was in 60, whatever, 70, whatever. And it became like especially when I saw the kind of audience, I was expecting people of my age. And what I encounter all the time is like kids, and they're like amazing. You know,
it's an amazing record. The Full Metal Jack is a really good record. And I want to ask you, can we play another song off of the album?
Oh, for sure.
What is another song we should play?
Why don't you pick up one?
Me? Yes. Okay, I like Ganja Man.
Okay, Ganja Man, so it is. Because we should have known better, right?
What is it that you should have known better?
We should have known better that the dream was not that easily meant to survive, you know? And I wonder why, like, so the lyrics say, like, Thomas Jefferson will come from the dead, to this new revolution, and the Kennedys will come back to us out of their deadly reclusion, and walking down with Luther the King across the Pennsylvania Avenue, and all this crap that is hiding in the bush. This is, of course, a double meaning bush. Took us into this pigsty, and Benjamin Rivera, old Abe Adams, and the crowd cheering freedom. You know, it is something that has to do, you know, with how naive were we, you know, during the 60s, and how much there is to be done.
Was
That was Full Metal Jack. Are you surprised by what's happening in Brazil right now? The protests that are rocking
Brazil?
Oh,
definitely. That was something that I always dreamed about, you know, because I was always so... It was so revolting, you know, just to, for example, go there and see and be there or living there and see just the prices raise. And the minimum wage is like slavery. It's funny. I was in a radio interview in France and there was this guy. It was like a round table and was this political scientist guy famous from France saying that Brazilian was like the miracle of this and this. And I said, sorry, I beg to differ because basically what's happening there is slavery. That's why the economics is so good. You don't pay nothing to the people, so and there's no support. And you are seeing basically the manifestations that are happening, what the people are looking for. You know, they want education, they want hospitals, they need like real government. They need to stop the rottenness of the corruption, yes, which is this is awful there now.
You've been a rebel for decades.
Just being a kid.
What would you tell a kid who is protesting in Brazil today? What would your advice be?
Don't get tired. Don't stop ever until it changes.
Do you want to say that in Portuguese?
Nunca se canse. Não pare. Nunca vá para casa até que você consiga o que você quer. O país é seu, não é dos políticos.
Eu descobri um dia o antes, o agora e o depois. No mesmo dia, o sim, o não e o talvez. No mesmo dia, o zero, o um e o dois. E tudo que acontece depois do três. Batidas de coração, a mesma das ondas que vão e que vêm, a mesma do chão da janela de trem, vertiginoso caos e fascinação. Pobre de mim, pensei que havia ainda que descobrir.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay. Bye. Love you guys.
Love
yeah.
You
anytime.
I would love to meet you guys face to face.
If we can get to New York, we'll make something happen.
Pobre de mim, ali naquele instante, igual aos demais, eu percebi que o encoberto jamais nos mostrará seu corpo à escuridão, porque a escuridão é que não se vê. A não ser que o novo Cristo volte mais uma vez, agora, ontem, hoje, antes e após, para mostrar a todos, todos os sóis. Todos os buracos negros também.
Quem me diz que a gente nunca poderá ser feliz, a menos que alcancemos o além da luz? Oh, meu Jesus, meu bom Jesus, meu bom Jesus.
We want to remind our listeners that you can hear all the songs that Sergio played today on our website at npr.org/altlatino.
And don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter, where the conversation always continues.
Our thanks to our friends at WBGO and our very good friend, Saraya Mohammed, here in Washington, D.C. I'm Felix Contreras.
And I am Jasmine Garst.
This has been Alt Latino.
Alt Latino.